and listening to his statements.
I'm grateful to God Almighty who gave me this opportunity in this great gathering. He gave me the opportunity of your visit, the followers of the Imam and the lovers of the path of the religious jurisprudence. This is an amazing coincidence, the birth anniversary of Hazrat Zahra, the daughter of Prophet of Islam, the birth anniversary of the late Imam, and also his passing away. They have all coincided, these two birthdays. I would like to extend my felicitations to you, great nation of Iran, and all humanity. Also, the passing away of the leader of the Islamic Revolution, I would like to extend my condolences on that. At the beginning, I would like to actually pay respect to Hazrat Zahra, the daughter of Prophet of Islam. She's what is called the father of the mother of her father. That's the way she's described. And she is the support of the great Prophet and all the imams. She is the sign of God, and she is the model, role model. The household of the divine household, from the descending from the Holy Prophet and Imam Ali, peace be upon him, and she is the linking chain that will remain till the day of resurrection and will keep the world enlightened for eternity. The pure tree or household of the Prophet that is nurtured by Hazrat Fatima, it has captured all the pure hearts and minds. Whatever blessing, love and affection and human virtues, whatever there are of these attributes, they're all there thanks to the enlightened existence of Hazrat Fatima, peace be upon her. The late leader is also a son of that household in our age. May God's peace and blessing be to Fatima and her father, Fatima and her husband and her children, and also peace and blessings of God be to our great Imam. Today is the day of the late Imam. Without a doubt, the Imam was the greatest and the most influential figure in the history after the ordainment of the Holy Prophet of Islam and the Imams that followed him. And he is the heavenly gift for mankind, and the one who revived humanity at the time of the rule of materialism. Today is the best day to remember the Imam and his path, the memory of the late Imam, and reminding ourselves of the divine characteristics of the Imam. Today I would like to mention a few of the qualities and characteristics of the late Imam here. I would like to enumerate some of those. Some of the great virtues that were manifested in Imam, and that way through him it flew out to all mankind. You know, today, thanks to the Imam and the uprising that he created, not only Iran, but the whole world, is being active and is high on emotion. The first quality of the Imam was reliance on God and working for His cause. That great personality for several times used to recite this verse from the Quran that the President is now reciting. The whole of Imam's existence was for God and working for Him. He taught us that purity and pure intentions is the key to success and prosperity. He taught us that what you do, which is not for the sake of God, is only for the cause of Satan, even if it spreads throughout the world. He taught us that working for the cause of God is the key to all successes and to all good deeds and beauty. He taught the lesson that working for the cause of God and moving on the straight path toward God is by nature successful. He said working for the sake of God will never face any defeat. And when there is no defeat, then there is no sorrow and there is no anxiety, as the Holy Quran says. This is the verse from the Holy Book. All the followers of God are successful, as the Holy Quran says. Anyone who works for the cause of God is among the soldiers of God, and the army of God is for sure successful, like it is said in the Holy Quran. Our endeared Imam, with all of its existence, believed in these words and his action and his deeds and his words. He used these and spread them all over the world. And this is the success to the magnanimity and power of the late Imam. He was the source of, he knew the source of power as God Almighty only. And for materialistic powers, he did not reckon them at all. It's not that he didn't consider them powers and he was not afraid of them. He actually did not find them influential. These superficial powers were nothing in his eyes. This faith is the key to that comment that says America is the great Satan. And he cried out that America cannot do a damn thing. Another characteristic of the Imam was moving in line with the teachings of divine prophets. His movement was in line with that of the prophet and of the same nature. And anything apart from this was considered by him to be going awry. He himself said that our uprising is the continuation of the uprising of God's prophets. The destination of this enlightened path was purity and also the teachings of the Holy Quran and the establishment of a justice-based rule all over the world. The duty of the prophets was a universal one, and the mission of our revolution is also a global one. The Imam believed that those pure and true believers will be heirs to the universe. He was after the salvation of all mankind. He had a global outlook, construction and progress for Iran, and also salvation of mankind were both sides of the coins, and they were intertwined in his eyes. He was the true leader of the Iranian people, and said the true leadership is at the hands of the 12th Shia Imam, Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him. He said that this uprising in this country belongs to Imam Mahdi, and we're all guided by him. He attributed all the successes to God Almighty and to the 12th Imam. The late leader considered the religious jurisprudence as the link between heaven and earth, and also the link between the people and the true leadership and the unique leadership of the world. And the lasting nature and the dignity of the people in the Islamic Republic was also emanating from the same source. Expecting the Savior was the basis of our movement, and the Islamic Revolution was actually making the preparations for the reappearance of the late Imam Mahdi. Another attribute of the late Imam was spreading the spirit of self-reliance. He came and stressed on believing in your own powers, at the same time relying on God's blessings. This is what he revived. On the other hand, the Satans and those arrogant powers who were after disappointing the people and bringing despair, the late Imam came and talked of the greatness and the status of mankind and revived that status. All the prophets came for reviving the true identity of mankind, and they struggled that way. And we saw that in the nation of Iran and his children, relying on self-reliance, withstood the most heavy assaults during the today too, the sons of these people, relying on that religious jurisprudence, they are moving toward the peaks of culture, politics, and technology. They are conquering them one after another. He taught everyone that we can. Among other of his attributes was fighting tyranny and seeking justice. The key to perfection and dignity of mankind he considered to be based on insisting on justice and fighting tyranny and discrimination. He said, as long as there is despotism, fighting must be there. As long as fighting is there, we are also there.
و حرکت در مسیر انبیاء الهی می دانست اندیشه او انقلاب او
at his revolution and his movement was global.
او به خوبی و با هوشمندی و هدایت الهی
prudence and inspired by God, he pinpointed the axis of evil movements, and by concentrating on people's power, he found the way for mankind's salvation. Through sharp-sightedness and through inspirations by God, he considered the Zionist regime as the biggest tool for domineering on world people. And in summer years ago, he nominated the a day as Quds Day. And to the end, he stressed fighting that fabricated regime. He realized the fact that the collapse of the Zionist regime means the collapse of the pillars and the backbone of the anti-human arrogant power. And today you see that the whole world have come to realize they can see this fact, and they give their blessings to our late leader. Another characteristic of the late leader was respect for people.
He was
respected. He moved along with the people. He stressed the people's role, and he also had high regard for the role in the running of the country's affairs. He believed that based on justice and monotheism, fighting tyranny and injustice and correcting the affairs of the country would not be possible except by people themselves. The power of the people he described as the manifestation of the power of God. The people of Iran, he thought, was the best of the world nations and better compared to the people at the time of the Holy Prophet of Islam. He believed in the genuine role of the people in the running of the country's affairs and making great decisions. He believed in this deeply. The Islamic establishment without people, the Imam described as not lasting and not creditable, and the main pillar of the Islamic Republic was in following the religious jurisprudence. He called the main pillar as the people. He had this fact, he interwoven actually this fact in the Islamic establishment. He said that all the yardstick means is the choice of the people and the people's vote. For 30 years in the Islamic Republic, we had 30 great elections. All those elections, based on the same system and based on the same system, people themselves monitored the elections, they themselves took part in the elections, and they actually possessed the election. The election belonged to them. The most democratic elections are held here in Iran. The most democratic rule in the world is the Islamic Republic of Iran. Last year we saw almost 40 million people, that means 85% of all those eligible voters took part in a 100% free election, and they set the record of democracy in the whole world, and they broke that record. And the democracy of wealth and media, they were all questioned by this move. Almost 25 million people voted to their servant, to me, and all the 40 million, let's say all the 75 million people are all respected. Of course, in 30 years, there were some selfish people who always considered themselves superior to the people, and they thought themselves possessors of the country, and they thought that if the vote of the people was cast for them, then it would be a real and respected vote, and if the vote went to other people, then there would be no respect for that, and that should be crushed to a side. Those who through the same establishment came to power and ran the country's affairs. The late Imam always talked of the results of the people's votes and protected them in the same way that the great leader of the Islamic Revolution wisely talked of the people's vote and defended people's votes and actually resisted all the pressure by the arrogant powers. All of our duty bound, me too, as a small person serving the people, I'm also duty bound based on the religious jurisprudence and protect the people's vote. Another characteristic of the late Imam was spreading the spirit of serving the nation and living alongside the people. He called himself the one who serves the people, and he called the government by the same token those who should serve the people. He said that management should be at the service of the people only. He was opposed to luxury, government, state luxury, luxury life. He resisted all those, and with the way, with the king's style, lifestyle of some of those officials, he resisted all of them, and also he decisively withstood people who lived a king's life, and those who wanted to create this kind of lifestyle, they actually stood opposite the ideology of the late Imam, and they are opposed by the people. He lived with the people and lived a simple life, like the leader of the Islamic Revolution lives now. Please pay attention. The revolution and the Islamic establishment, he called them to belong to masses of people. He did not consider any privilege for anyone. All the victories were attributed to the people, and he said he was only a cleric, a minor cleric. In his eyes, nobody can call himself the possessor of the revolution or the people's votes and decide for the vote of the people and win himself some concessions or privileges. The Imam and the revolution, they all belong to the people, and the path of the Imam is not separated from the path of the religious jurisprudence and those of the Prophet and the following Imams. It's surprising to see whatever, if you can. You can shout at arrogance in the U.S. after the speech is over. It's amazing in our history that there are individuals standing at the ranks of the sworn enemies of the Imam, and those who are after the hypocrites, the leaders of the arrogant powers. They stand in their ranks, and they fight all the virtues and principles of the Imam, and they stand, withstand the people of the Imam, and then they call themselves claimants of actually the path of the Imam and followers of the path of the Imam. And more amazing is that they expect that the people would accept this lie and this high demands that they have. They wanted people to accept this, and in the eyes of the Imam, the people's status quo is to be used as the yardstick for deciding, and Imam hadn't considered no value for worldly materials and wealth. He said in his will he wanted the people to be careful. Probably there would be some people, some individuals, through sycophancy, he said, maybe there are some people actually who got some affirmations of, or approvals from the Imam. Those are not to be considered important. The status quo is what matters. And we have had in the history of the Islam's, those individuals who struggled and fought wars alongside the Prophet of Islam, but later on, when it came to Ali's justice, they withstood that, and even they waged a war, the late Imam, with the materialistic approach and Western and secularism, secularist libertinism, and loss of identity in the name of modernity. The Imam opposed all these, and at the same time, when it came to backwardness, he always stood away from that. And then he said that the Islam is actually will have all the responses for the dignity of mankind, and it will fulfill all the needs of mankind in order to get close to God and live a pure life. The Imam believed that maintaining the establishment is among the most important duties. I'm sorry to mention some points. I apologize here to everyone, but those who have no respect, those who in unison with our sworn enemies, they want to actually portray the image, disrupt the image of the Islam public, those individuals can never claim that they are followers of the Imam and the path of the Imam. Those who followed the individuals who insulted the Imam, people are chanting the slogan that they're duty-bound to follow the religious jurisprudence. Those individuals that stood in the same rank with those who insulted the Imam, or those that who went awry but they kept silent, those individuals can never claim that they are following the path of the late Imam. With the blessing of God, our endeared and highly respected Imam created such a strong foundation that it purifies itself from within. That is all the diversions and all the those who go awry. All of these are purified within the system itself. Anyone in any position, no matter how powerful they are, if they go awry and distance themselves from the path of the late Imam, without a doubt and promptly, those people will be removed from the scene by the people. As the late Ayatollah Taleghani said, they're asking President Ahmadinejad to break what the people call the great idol. As the late Ayatollah Taleghani said, anyone who stands against this revolution will be annihilated. This revolution is a divine revolution. The people of Iran considered the revolution and the great Islamic establishment, they have paid heavy price to get this, and they cannot do away with some games the international players are playing. This revolution is alive. The people are alive. The late Imam, the path of that Imam is alive. And with the blessing of God, until the establishment of the global rule of Imam Mahdi, this revolution will go on. People are saying they will never leave their leader alone.
Amma
Now let's cast a look at the global impacts of the movement that the Imam started. Let's look what we were and what we are now. What our enemies were and where they stand now. Where we were then and where we are now. Where the enemies were, where they are now. If you remember those days, early days after the victory of the Islamic Revolution, one day they came and our Imam, who was accused of defending the rights of the people and the basic rights of the Iranian people, and also calling the people to be vigil, the people of the world to be vigil, they arrested our Imam, they exiled him, his followers were crushed, were repressed, and in those early days of the revolution who were witnessed, even the cries of the oppression of our people, even those cries, especially during those days of the Saddam-imposed war on Iraq, that all those satanic powers were acting against us, and we were defending ourselves. In those days, even the cries of the oppression of this people in the material world that was ruled by Satan's, it had no reflection, the cries of this people. But today, look what has happened. You can see for yourself. Openly, it's clear that the materialistic world is collapsing. Its historical era is over. The arrogance rule that once thought that it could uproot the people of Iran and eradicate the people of Iran and the Islamic establishment. They thought they can have their own conspiracy and designs to that end, but today they are on the defensive. Actually, today the rule of dominance, domineering, the unilateral rule that they have that is collapsing, they are defending that. But this tyrannical rule, with the blessing of God, will fall apart and no one will be able to save that arrogant, the rule of arrogance. Today, the memory of Imam, the path of Imam, is shining more brightly than ever in the whole world, and it is, his memories are being remembered by all believers all over the world. And the sun that's arisen from the late Imam's path, it is shining more brightly all over the world. Today, the cry of the Imam and his aspirations are being uttered out by millions of freedom lovers across the world. And with the blessing of God, the great wishes and aspirations of the Imam are being realized. Some individuals consider the Islamic Revolution as the... We see the Islamic Revolution is actually being the last move, and the last move has started and will soon gain final victory. The rule of arrogance, which is the greatest historical obstruction in impeding the establishment of a justice-based rule, has come to the end of the road. And There is no more use trying to survive. And the last movement and uprising of mankind is being flourished. For the arrogant powers, there is only one way left, and that is surrendering to the righteous and joining the ranks of the world people. Look at the Freedom Flotilla. See what happened there? A number of people from around the world, in the face of the crimes of the Zionist regime, whose very existence is an insult to mankind, is an insult to the dignity of all world people and freedom and monotheism and justice and peace. They were bored with this. For 3 years, a people has been under siege with bombs and missiles. They shower on them, and then they deprive them of food and water, and arrogant powers give them prizes of peace, and then they call those people who are besieged terrorists. It's clear that all mankind will revolt, and that's what's happening now. A number of people could not tolerate anymore. They voluntarily started and set off. They took basic supplies, food. They mobilized all this, they took their lives, they put them on the line, and then they started to take aid and assistance to the people of Gaza and breaking the siege of that satanic siege on Gaza. Of course, apparently, they intercepted the flotilla. I want to tell them, despite the fact that it seems that through the savage attack of the Zionists, the caravan was intercepted. But everyone should know that with the blessing of God, very soon, thousands of such freedom flotillas and convoys from across the world will set off by freedom lovers and by scrapping the rule of the Zionism, they will give freedom and peace to all mankind. The crime of the Zionist regime is not because they're powerful, it's because they are weak and they are crazy. It looks like dominating. They have lost their senses. They can't control their senses. Of course, we are informed, and I'm informing you and all world nations, that they, in order to compensate for their past mistakes, in order to restructure their power, they're after designs for another attack against Gaza. But they are making a mistake. Today they are the most hated figures for world people. Attacking the freedom convoy has changed into a yardstick for the authenticity and honesty of world governments. Some people, they got their postures in Europe and other parts of the world, but the U.S., being under the influence of the criminal Zionists, they took a posture for the Zionists. I'm hopeful that those who got the proper stance will continue keeping that stance and prevent that Zionist regime from committing such crimes. And the U.S. administration should also repent, and they should know that such stances means pushing Mr. Obama to a deadlock, means the end of Mr. Obama, and consequently it means putting an end to the whole government in the U.S. They should stop supporting the Zionist regime. I'm also telling the leaders of the Zionist regime, for 60 years and some say for 110 years you kept committing crimes since the days at the end of the 19th century you designed and you planned to dominate Palestine. You designed the occupation of Palestine. You had this design for establishment of a base from where you could pressure all the people of the world for 110 years you committed crime. Isn't that enough? I'm warning you. Any new move, any aggressive move, would mean the final death for the Zionist regime of Israel. With all the barbaric moves they make, they get closer to their collapse. For the supporters of this fabricated regime, I have a few words of advice. You need to respect the rights of the people, respect the rights of the people of Palestine. The same way you established this Zionist regime, the best way for you is to, in the same way, scrap this regime and you yourself and save yourself and other world nations, or else you should know that the power of the world nations will put an end to this regime. And all those supporters of this regime will be considered as war criminals and will be put to justice. Today, with the thanks to the movement started by the late Imam, and also thanks to resistance of you, great nation, and thanks to the awareness of the great leader of the Islamic Republic, all the world nations are awake and are vigilant. The great masses of people directed at establishment of justice and monotheism and the rule of the righteous under the promised Imam, Imam Mahdi. The stage is being set. The world arrogance is going to collapse, and all their efforts to survive will not save them. In the last part of my speech, I would like to renew allegiance with the late Imam. Today, 21 years passes. It's the 21st anniversary since the Imam passed away. We're alongside his mausoleum here. We tell the Imam, see, these people and all other people and millions of freedom lovers across the world, they all love you and the path that you set and the virtues of your Islamic revolution. We renew our allegiance with you to keep and to transfer this holy love from generation to generation, and to keep it in our hearts and transfer it to our generations forever.
Hey, Imam.
We tell the Imam, the great gift of God to mankind, we tell him that your path will continue until the establishment of the justice-based rule by Imam Mahdi. It will continue. Generations after generations will emerge with a stronger faith, with stronger determination, and they will be at the heart of the Islamic establishment, and they will defend all the rights and principles that you have set.
Ey Imam, ey Bisharat Dehandeye Izzat,
the Imam, the the harbinger of peace and freedom for mankind. Those lovers of the material world, they have this hollow dream and they stand against religions and faiths. They're withstanding the rights of the world people. We take orders from you, and with the whole of our existence, we'll withstand the material and the hollow world. We have withstood that, and we will never let them take one step against the front of the righteous.
Ey Imam Aziz, az miras geranqadr tu.
We will protect your invaluable legacy, that is the Islamic Republic, and we will keep respecting and abiding by the religious prudence which links us to the heaven and is the focal point of the hatred of all Satans of all kinds. We will protect this, and those who want to see the weakened relation between the people and the Imam and retreating on the part of the people from Islamic revolutionaries, they will never get their whims and wishes realized.
ای روح خدا در کالبد زمان.
You are the soul of God, and with all our existence, we are serving the people, the great nation of Iran, and the ways of serving the people. We have learned these, and we will never replace them with any other thing. You are the supporter of the deprived. All those deprived people, we consider them as our masters, and serving those deprived people is our eternal source of pride. We will never consider the mansions and palaces of the wealthy to the deprived people.
مستکبران و
اشرافیت arrogant powers and those who accumulated wealth from the public fund, whatever they want to say, they can say. We withstand them, we resist them, and we not only are not afraid of their fabricated power, we don't reckon with that. We will also prevent them from accessing the public fund and the rights, and with the blessing of God, through the guidance of our great leader and the support of the great people, we will restore the people's rights, even if it's wrapped up in resolutions.
Hey, Imam.
We have learned from you, the great Imam, that the arrogant, the selfish must be ruled out, must be rejected. We have learned this from you. The blames of the arrogant power And the blame coming from their network and their followers and supporters, we're not afraid of those. As far as it's related to us, as long as they insult us as a person, no matter how immoral that would be, we would tolerate it. But they should know that violating the respect, your respect and your aspirations, and moving away from that, this will not be tolerated, and we will strongly resist it.
Ey Imam, ma ishq be mardom ra,
love for people, love for mankind, being affectionate toward the masses of the people, and not being selfish. We have learned these all from you, and we renew our allegiance that as long as we live, we will protect. We will not go awry. The Imam said that with a tranquil heart, I'm going to fly to the heaven. I give you the assurance that this people, especially the zealous youths of Iran, will hoist your flag, that is the flag of God is the greatest, and also the cry of Imam Mahdi. They will keep hoisting this and installing this on the highest peaks of the world, and they will spare no effort, and they will have no hesitation to prove that your path was the path of righteous. The whole world should know that the Imam is alive, the people of Iran is alive, freedom-loving nations are alive, seeking justice is alive, monotheism is alive, they are all alive, so that waiting for the as long as waiting for the Imam Mahdi, the 12th Imam, to reappear. With the blessing of God, a bright future is awaiting you, and humility and meanness is awaiting the enemies of mankind. I would like to thank the great nation of Iran for all their good deeds, for all their awareness in the course of history during the Islamic Revolution, during the imposed war. They went and protected the establishment, and they had their historical presence in various scenes in the past year. I would like to thank you all sincerely. Your presence in this great gathering, after 21 years, you came here, and the path of the Imam and the Imam, you cried for all these, the dignity, you showed your dignity to the whole world. My gratitude goes to all of you, all the masses of people, the scholars, the academics, our teachers, laborers, our farmers, people from various walks of life, families of martyrs in the war handicapped, especially our youths, our girls and boys. My gratitude goes to all of you. and also all of those who took pains and indefatigably they made efforts with, despite all the problems, they arranged all this so that this ceremony is held here in a more glorious way. And we ask God Almighty, the unique God, the people of Iran are endeared, and we ask you to add to the greatness of the people of Iran. We ask God Almighty to remove the obstruction of the way of Iranians' progress. We ask Him to protect the Iranian youths, help them reach the peaks of faith and right deeds and progress. Help them fulfill all their wishes. And we ask the great God to save all the oppressed people. We ask God to pour down blessings on the people of Iran and other world people.
Well, live from the mausoleum of the late founder of the Islamic Republic, Imam Khomeini, Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad addressing close to millions of people who have gathered for this. This is the 21st anniversary of his passing away. It has been 21 years since Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini has passed away. And we could see people there rising now to the speech made by Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Imam Khomeini, if you remember, returned to Iran after 14 years when he was back in exile there. And of course, the major accomplishments is what Iran's president started out by mentioning, such as the regeneration of the divine, prophetic, and Islamic system in the minds of people all over the world. The late Imam was after the salvation of all mankind, Iran's president said, and he went on to say that justice based on rule was what the late Imam believed in, and he believed in the rule of the people. To review some of the highlights, he talked about the elections that happened in Iran, said it's the most democratic elections that were held. Last year, 40 million people took part in the 100% free elections and broke the record for the highest percentage of people to show up in a democratic election. Ahmadinejad went on to say that he spread the spirit of serving the people, a government and a management to serve the people was at the core of his rule. Also, that no country can stand against this revolution by the name of the Islamic Revolution. Made references to the war with Iraq and that the countries that supported Iraq are now on the defensive. And then went on to talk about the attack on the Freedom Flotilla. Iran's president said the Zionist regime is an insult to humankind. Gaza has been under siege, he said, for 3 years. They're deprived from food, water, and the Zionists call them the besieged terrorists. He had a message for them that the savage Zionist attackers, thousands of such flotillas are going to set off to Gaza and act against them, in which it will give freedom and peace a symbol for all mankind. Also mentioned the United States, and he said that the U.S. is under the influence of the Zionist regime. They need to stop this, Iran's president said. And he said that any move, a message to the Zionist regime, he said that any move, new move, would mean the final demise for the Zionist regime, and that they should refrain from doing that. Also made references again back to the late Imam, where at the end he pledged his allegiance and saying that he was a great gift to mankind, that he will restore the rights of people, thank the nation of Iran, thank the people who came out to listen to him. And basically those were some of the highlights that Iran's president there said in his speech, this being the 21st anniversary of the passing away of the late founder of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini.